Blog Talk Radio.
Partly owned by the Montreal Canadiens, they say they were fired without warning and believe racial discrimination played a role. Steve Lukavina has the story. CPC spoke to two employees who both worked at this sports bar that's co-owned by the Habs and by the large restaurant company Cara Food Services. They've worked here since it opened last fall. Both say they never had any problems, any complaints, written or verbal, about their work from managers. Both, a week ago, called into the office and told, much to their surprise, that they were being let go. And in both cases, they say they got the same kind of speech. They say they asked for specific reasons and were told general things, such as they didn't meet the standards of the company, that they perhaps their level of service wasn't up to scratch, but no specific incidents were pointed out. Then they were compared to two other co-workers, both white, French origin Quebecers, and said that those two were ideal employees, commenting on their work ethic, but also their appearance. And that led these two to believe that they were victims of discrimination.
That's when a few red flags went off in my head. I was like, okay, this is, I don't want to think of it that way, but I couldn't find any other reason to think it wasn't racial discrimination.
Maybe they think that, you know, white French Quebecers are the people who represent 1909. For them, that's what's right for them, but, you know, it's not acceptable. It's not supposed to be this way.
CBC also spoke to a third employee, also a visible minority, also fired a couple of days after these two, who said she got the exact same speech. She didn't want her name used for privacy reasons. All three have decided to file complaints with Quebec's Human Rights Commission about this, and they sent those in writing already. We tried to get an interview with the owners of the tavern. They sent us a written statement basically saying that they're going to do a third-party investigation to look into this, that they take diversity hiring very seriously, and they want to be sure that nothing wrong happened here. Steve Brugovina, CBC News, Montreal.
Good evening, and welcome to the Holy Spirit Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Mr. G.R. Hart, and I thank you all for tuning in. I wanted to start off the show tonight dealing with this particular incident because it has been in the news as of late dealing with Buffalo Wild Wings. And Buffalo Wild Wings is a tavern or family. It's a slash tavern slash family style restaurant that sells, you know, primarily wings, finger food for the most part. But however, it was an incident this past weekend where there was an African American family that came in there, and they came in as a party of 16, and they lo and behold, when they got there, the party grew to actually 18. So here we are, African American family that are coming in to celebrate, nevertheless, to have a celebration of some kind, and they had kids and whatnot as well. I think there was 12 children and 6 adults. They were coming there to just enjoy themselves and have some wings and burgers and whatnot. And lo and behold, there is a regular guest, and I'm going to talk a little bit more in depth about these regular guests. There was a regular guest there that was you can say a racist, white supremacist, and he did that like black folk. So this one guy who's a regular at this Buffalo Wild Wings, he didn't want their black table near him. So the server and the host, they were bold enough to tell the party that, hey, we got to move y'all because that guy over there, he don't like black people. And they proceeded to try to move him. And nevertheless, this party, this family of 18, they moved to another location. Thank God for that. So here we are. We're doing this show, and I titled it is Buffalo Wild Wings the only restaurant that patronized racist guests? That answer is no. I've been in the restaurant hospitality industry for over 35 years, and I've seen a lot of buffoonery, a lot of foolishness that went on, a lot of racism, major racism, in the hospitality industry of all sorts. I've seen it from the airport. I've seen it from various restaurants over the years that I've worked at. I've seen it from the employees, from the management staff, as well as primarily from the guests. And 99.9% of the time, it is allowed. This foolishness is allowed to take place. And what am I ashamed that is? Just last year, if you all can remember, there was an incident, there were several incidents with Starbucks. Whereas on one incident, there was an employee who was sleeping. You know, he was studying, you know, for a test, and this particular employee was sleeping at a Starbucks. And while he was sleeping, one of the managers called the police on this patron who was just taking a nap. He was studying and whatnot, and that caused an incident. And then several months later, I believe in Philadelphia, same situation dealing with a Starbucks. There were two young African American men that were waiting to have a meeting. I think dealing with selling property or real estate of some kind. And while they were waiting, again, another manager, I guess assumed, felt they looked suspicious, and they decided to call the police on them as well. But these young men, unfortunately, they were arrested, and they were handcuffed. And again, they went on several shows to talk about the incident, and Starbucks began shortly after that to have a sensitivity training about racial bias in the whole nine. And a little bit shortly, I'm going to play this this video that was done a year ago, if I'm not mistaken. It was called Confronting Racial Bias in the Restaurant Industry. And CBS this morning, they did that back in June of 2018. And it was a panel of servers and hosts and management, and they were sitting around just really discussing different scenarios dealing with race in the restaurant industry. And very interesting conversation that they had. But I'm gonna add my two cents on the end, because even though this was a noble thing that they did, they really missed the mark on several things that should have really been the subject of the matter. Nevertheless, so I'm gonna look at this article that I found, and let's see, can I find this article in just 1 second? No. There was an incident back in several years ago, back in D.C., and this bartender, beautiful young lady who was a college student. This was back in 2016. It was an upscale bar in Washington, D.C., and this African-American woman, her name was Bridgetta Harden, no relationship to me, but she was awarded nearly $700,000 by a federal jury in a racial discrimination case that was brought against this bar, and the bar was called Red Line Bar. Wonderful article that came out. And again, you can check out that article. It was actually in the Washington Post in February of 2016, in the Washington Post. And basically, what transpired was this young lady was hired as a bartender, and she had worked there for several weeks. And lo and behold, the owner came in. And when the owner, and he was a white man, a white gentleman, but when the owner came in, he went to the managers, and he told them that he told the managers to fire her, and they subsequently fired her, and when she asked why they fired her, and they basically told her, you know, basically how he felt. He just felt like, you know, her being an African American, she was not the ideal employee to be behind a bar, her look and he would prefer a young blonde woman. And so they ended up firing his sister. And so in January, it happened a few years before that, but the award came down, I'm sorry, in January 2016, but it happened several years before this incident. And I think it was like a first job or something, but this is not a once in a while incident that they found a situation like this happening. I remember last year in the summer in Macon, Georgia, a restaurant called Cheddar's Restaurant, and I did a show on that when it happened. But there were two military African American women who were in the parking lot parking their car and whatnot, and they're trying to find a spot. It was busy, and they found a spot. And a 72-year-old white woman and her son, I don't know what transpired, but they felt like they should have gotten that spot. So in the parking lot, the white woman is screaming, you know, you got my spot, you effing idiots, and just a barrage of racial epithets, so to speak. And the thing rolls over inside of a restaurant where, mind you, one of the military women, she was 8 months pregnant at the time. So they, if I'm not mistaken, they parked in a handicap because she was 8 months pregnant. And I think that the 72-year-old woman, even though she walked pretty fine, she had a handicap sticker too. And she thought that the two young women were just parking there because it was closer. And there lies the issue. But as they go inside of the restaurant, this woman just lit into them, calling them out their names and the N-word and this and that, and following them around. And it got so bad where people began to record it. Now, mind you, I'm watching the recording. In this restaurant, it's predominantly filled with African-American people in the first place. But this woman didn't care. And then when the military woman, who was 8 months pregnant, politely said, "Ma'am, you know, can you please stop putting your finger in my face?" You know, and so she started recording the lady, as well as other people began to record her. But to make this thing a long story short, she ended up slapping the camera out of the pregnant woman's hand, and people were saying, "Ma'am, she's pregnant." She's pregnant. Now, mind you, this woman had a handicap sticker, but she was swinging like hell and walking just fine. You know, and her 50-year-old son is right beside her, egging her on. And thank God that some of the guests had to step in and block these two military women from engaging and any type of confrontation with this white woman. And subsequently, the white lady, she ended up being arrested, and she went to jail. And for this, so this is something that happens so often, man, that it is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I'm gonna take this quick commercial break. Then we'll come back, and we'll talk about several other incidents that have happened. Again, from the airport, some of my experiences that have happened from the airport, Red Lobster, Longhorns. There's an incident that with Papa John's as well as Hardee's. I'm gonna talk about those things, and then I'm gonna play this video from the CBS this morning news talking about confronting the racial bias in the industry. Take this break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Communicate Beauty Supply, serving the North Metro Atlanta, Georgia area, features professional hair care, skin care, and beauty supply products for all occasions. Located on the corner of Alpharetta Highway and Holcomb Bridge Road, PD&K provides hair care services for braiding, sew-ins, cornrows, and much, much more. Call today and make an appointment, or stop by and see us. One people, one community.
Hair care and more hair.
PD&K Beauty Supply, designed with you in mind. Family-owned and operated,
God-driven.
Thank you.
All right. We're back. So, as you all know, Papa John's had an incident a couple of years ago with the owner of Papa John's when he had some emails that got leaked out, some racial emails that he had to, eventually the board members decided to have him to step down. And from that, he lost a lot of business from sports arena and so on and so forth. People begin to, I wouldn't say boycott, but a lot of, you know, African-American people begin not ordering Papa John's pizza, which I didn't know that we ordered Papa John's pizza, but nevertheless, that was one of the things that happened, that it kind of hurt minorities with these incidents of his racial emails that came out. And I forgot his name. It's John something, but I can't remember its name. But nevertheless, he went through that incident. And there was also an incident with the Hardee's. The guy that owns Hardee's, if I'm not mistaken, Hardee's. And he had some racial, and this is the owner. And he talked about, you know, he felt like humans were worthless, and that if he could get away with not paying them, he certainly would, you know, in all of his restaurants. And he said his ideal would be to hire robots and replace humans with robots. And this is so amazing that here you have these men, you know, owners of restaurant Papa John's, Hardee's, and so on and so forth. Ivy League degrees. Somebody helped them get to wherever they are. I don't care if their granddaddy, their mother, their father, but somebody human had to help them get to where they are. And as soon as they get their silly asses up to a point to make millions and even billions, they just figure, I don't even need humans anymore. So what kind of freaking planet do you want to create where you sitting on your silly ass all day long? Because your ego is just that damn low that you need to feel like you're so superior. When truth be told, men of this type of stature, they know they're a piece of shit. Brooks Brothers suit, Ivy League degrees, sitting on millions of dollars, they know they're a piece of shit. Because anything to do with this planet and with the people that are in control now, everything has to be backwards. Dr. Amos Wilson taught us that a long time ago, that in order to live on this planet, in this type of society, you have to be backwards. And so everything that you think is normal is abnormal. Why do you think young people begin to act out so early? Because they have an unction in their spirit, because they're not tainted yet. There's something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong with our education, what I'm learning, what my parents are teaching me. Something don't make any sense. They can't put their finger on it. So they act out. They're like, I got to escape this shit. So they become punk rockers. They become different, like punk rock. Some join gangs, depending on the ethnicity. Some joined weird clubs, but they do everything they can to escape from who they are, because who the parents are trying to shape them. I'm not talking about all kids now. I'm talking about the ones who are selected, because not all of us are selected. We're all God's children, but not all of us have that unction and have that assignment of being the change. And you think, oh, he's an unruly child, and she's an unruly child, and she drinks a lot, she parties, she's trying to escape the buffoonery of what you're saying: go to school, get an education, be in debt before you graduate with student loans. You know how ass man that sounds? Before I could even get the opportunity to find myself at 20, 21 years old, I'm in $100,000 debt. And you call that American dream? That's a nightmare. And I know I got off track all of a sudden, but I just had to say that. Just in my spirit to even go there. But when I worked at the airport, doing the orientation, they told us that you were going to find a lot of people who were not used to seeing a lot of African Americans, especially in the Atlanta airport. It is the, you know, besides O'Hare being one and two, depending on the season, Atlanta is known for the world's busiest airport, especially around Thanksgiving time, because it's the hub. So we were told about the racism that we would encounter with people from Midwest, South, of course, as well, but, you know, upstate, you know, Montana, Wyoming, and so on and so forth. And you would hear people. I was called a nigga so many times, I thought that was my nickname. You asking for the ID? Nigga, are you crazy? Because I bartended at the airport. So nevertheless, if you know, their policy is no matter how old they look, you gotta call out everyone. And a lot of people, they didn't want you to even touch them. They would put, when they would pay, they would throw their card at you, or their money at you, you know, and then they tell you to put it down. That's what I mean by backwards. You're a grown-ass man or woman, and you think a skin color makes somebody inferior to your silly ass, and then you walk store ass in a church. What the hell are you praying to? You think that's a white supremacist God waiting on you? So amazing. But that job, I worked there 7 years, man, and it was you be called a coon. I saw beautiful women called coon, nigga, monkey. So amazing. In 2019. So, I mean, by educated people, uneducated people, doesn't matter. I worked at Red Lobster some years back, over 27 years ago. Same thing with them. They had a policy where they would put black people in the back of the restaurant, all the way in the back. And what was so bad about it, because Sunday was a busy day, you know, for church folks and a lot of African Americans, when after church, they have large parties, 20 top, 30, you know, we come deep. No, we know that. They would put all the black people in the smoking section, and the majority of black folk didn't smoke. So in this restaurant was in Orlando, Florida. It was a pretty big restaurant, you know, Fort Red Lobster, and I guess because of it being Orlando and Disney, it was a much larger size, and it had a huge room for party, for large parties. So they were suited for 20 tops and 40 tops and so on and so forth. And you would look over the restaurant. Now, I'll never forget one night. It was so busy. And, of course, I was in the black section. And a white woman, she walked over to me, a guest. She said, "Why are all the black people in the back?" I was so naive. I'm 19, 20 years old. I'm working. I'm busy. And I looked. She goes, "Look." I look around, and I'm like, "Holy crap, she's right." They're all in the back. You know, so she went up front, and I followed her. She asked the manager, she said, "Why are all the black people in the back?" "Well, ma'am, because they're in the party." And she goes, "No, they're not in the party." And she just started single-handedly pointing them out. You know, and after that, I feel some type of way. Because I'm like, man, that's kind of jacked up. And I felt highly offended by that. And nevertheless, I began to speak out about that, and I became a nuisance to management and so on. And then, you know, I remember when Shaquille O'Neal, it was Darryl Dawkins. The late Darryl Dawkins and his family came in there one night, and I think it was a party of 20. He was in my section, and me and this other black young lady, and they took us out of our sections, put us in a white section for the weaker servers, and took two white girls and gave them the party. The whole time they called Darryl Dawkins a monkey. His mother, because his mother was tall. I think Darryl was like 7 feet tall, however, 6'11", 7 feet, but he's about 300-something pounds. He's a big guy. And they called him Grape Ape, because there was a cartoon back then called Grape Ape. It was amazing. I was furious. So furious. The same thing with Shaquille O'Neal when he came in, when he joined the Orlando Magic. Monkey, Grape Ape. The general manager would be in there making monkey sounds. So it goes both ways. This racial bias goes both ways. I was at Longhorns working. And there was a few regulars. And one thing about regulars, they're loners. You know, I don't know why Buffalo Wild Wings would care, would give a damn about one regular guest, because most regular guests, they don't bring people with them. They're loners. They come by the damn self. Your little $20 three times a week is not going to make me or break me versus this 18 top that's going to probably come back. This is a no-brainer. But this is how huge race is a factor in this backwards society. Nonetheless, this particular guy at Longhorns, the bartender told us, "Oh, he's racist. He hates black people, and he hates this. He hates Obama." This when President Obama was president. He hates Obama. He said he wish he can go out and like the old days and hang Obama. And, you know, just amazing. But he would sit there and try to pick up black women. Again, backwards. Backwards. I'm going to play this insert, man, from, again, CBS Morning News. I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to give you my 2 cents on what I think the real issue is.
Philadelphia Starbucks raised a lot of questions about how companies train their employees to avoid racial bias. A recent Harvard Business Review study found discrimination is prevalent in the customer service industry. The study discovered hotel employees gave a 20% more restaurant recommendations to white people than to black or Asian people. It also says race affects employees' politeness. WCBS anchor and CBS News contributor Maurice Dubois' name is here to show us how a chain of restaurants in the Washington, D.C. area is tackling this issue. This is very interesting to a lot of people. Maurice, good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you all. And good morning, everyone. Busboys and Poets is a restaurant and bookstore chain that employs about 650 people across six locations in Washington. For the past 13 years, restaurateur Andy Shalal has been conducting his unique brand of racial bias training for his employees. We recently attended a training session with a group of 10 millennials. We met in a room after named after Langston Hughes, the renowned poet who was once a busboy.
Can you be colorblind in America?
No. Being colorblind is like completely rejecting somebody's culture and who they are and how they are.
This is kind of my headquarters.
Race has perplexed artist turned restaurateur Andy Shalal since he first came to America in 1966 as a 10-year-old Iraqi refugee.
My family lived in Virginia, and back then I was introduced to race in America.
It hit you right in the face.
Absolutely, because I was a small boy with an afro and darker skin. Sometimes thought I was black. Some people thought I was white. Some people thought I was who knows what.
What does a kid make of that?
It's confusing because I didn't know anything about race.
Shalal set out to create a community where people of different cultures and races could interact. He shares his vision with employees every couple of weeks at anti-bias trainings.
A lot of white people, for instance, I always hear them say that I'm colorblind. Like that's the ultimate space to be in, which means that you don't see color and therefore you don't have any racism or prejudice in your bones.
That's it.
Is that possible?
I'm saying you're colorblind. Like, you don't really see me. It's not to be colorblind. Your goal should be more to see me, see my culture, and appreciate that.
How does race impact the way you serve?
For me, I'm not going to say race doesn't exist. It does. But I bring my same attitude to any table that I go to.
When, let's say, a host at the front door, it's a Saturday morning. We just opened the door. Let's say the entire space is open at that moment in time. So the hostess wants to see people according to sections. So the black couple walks in through the door. They walk through an entire empty restaurant, and they get seated in that back corner. What is the black couple thinking?
We put them in the back. Yeah.
Why is it in the back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had that happen to me.
Yeah, give me something about the bathroom.
I'm calling about the location. And this server had gotten in. They were like a person, and they hadn't gotten any tables yet. So you just set them randomly at the next table.
But what you have to do is explain. You have to keep the lines of communication open, because if you don't, then people will think this, and they'll figure out
now. Now, let me ask you this. Let me go back to my example. What if a white couple walks in and they get seated in that back corner? What's the white couple thinking?
They got a table
to ourselves.
Oh, it depends what the host looks like.
Everyone reads the book by its cover, no matter what you think.
I was having this conversation with a gentleman the other day in the Uber ride on the way to work. He said, why is being black different than being any other race or any other color?
Was he black or was he?
He was black, and I was like, because they can see us coming. Physically, you can see us coming, and you can make your perception from there.
What about main takeaways here? How are you going to change the way you do your job?
To me, this discussion is a mindfulness exercise. It's an invitation to be deliberate and to not sink into the biases that I have built up over many years. And it's a reminder to practice compassion.
What are you going to do the next time you run into an ugly situation?
My first thing is always to question someone. Because to question someone is to take that next step or open that door.
Yeah. You got to, one, first be aware that there is a bias in order to, like, fix it.
And they probably didn't even know they were doing it. You know what I mean?
Anybody think, wow, this is a nice discussion, but people are people, they're going to be who they are, and nothing's going to change.
I think that when you were hired here, you've already demonstrated that your mind is open enough to accept other people's experiences and learn about them and about yourself.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is that the people who need to hear this
aren't here right now. I do think that we need to bring this conversation to a wider audience.
Like, we could all have these ideas, but to want to go out and physically start the conversation, that's the hardest thing to do.
Is the word as simple as respect? Is that all it is?
Yeah.
Respect other people?
I think the biggest problem, at least in America, when it comes to race relations, is like recognizing just like where we are as a person and as a people to figure out exactly how we fix the problem.
Now, Shalal acknowledges these conversations are just the first step, not the solution necessarily. Shalal has a history of being politically active. He ran for mayor of Washington in 2014. He now sees these training sessions as a way of creating change in his small corner of the world.
All right. I think that was a pretty good by this artist and restaurateur named Andy Shalal. An Iranian who came over nearly half a century ago, 50 years ago. One of the big bias training that he's doing, but watching this, the sad thing is, again, the majority of the people were young millennials, of course, but they were all minorities. Hispanic, I saw. Asian, I saw, looked like it was Hispanic, Asian, looked like Arab, and so on and so forth. So different races, and I think there was two white guys that were there as well. And I think one was a manager at that particular restaurant that they were doing the training, and so they talked about how does race impact how you serve. And it really does, man, because, again, I bartended and served for a long time. And I've had people say, I don't want no nigga serving me. or I want somebody white serving me. You know, or their whole demeanor when they see it changes. And I'll ask them, I say, hey, you know what, let me get you somebody else. And, of course, they're embarrassed by that, but by me being in this industry for over 30 plus years, I know the science. So trust me, you don't have to say a whole lot, and I certainly will accommodate you. And I would do that. I would find somebody white for him real quick, and just move on because I want you to enjoy yourself. And if you hate a skin color that bad, then that's fine. I think maybe you should stay home or try to find a place that's predominantly white in your area versus trying to go out in the real world. And then you get caught up by seeing people of all races and colors. And then you got a problem again, backwards. You got to be backwards, you know? And also when they talked about the incident of sitting in the back, sitting a black couple in the back, that's happened to me. And he's right. You know, I don't care if you in Atlanta or you in Chicago or you in Canada, you ask them, why I'm in the back? They'll say the same thing. Well, the server, you know, that's his station, so we start from the back and blah, blah, blah. Same thing. A lot of times they're instructed to put you in the back through management. You know, and I promise you, if hostess could get together and really talk about what they're told and write a book, man, that thing will blow your mind. It will absolutely blow your mind on the racism that goes on in all restaurants. All restaurants. And then they talked about people. You know, and that's the part I want to chime in on real quick before I end this broadcast. That people are people, and also respect. Depending on, you know, people's background, where they come from, how they were raised, that's embedded in them. Some people know how to turn it on, turn it off, and I can be a racist, but I know to act cordial when I am in public and so on and so forth. But a lot of people just can't do it. And in this Trump era, people feel like, hell, I ain't got to do it no more. You know, I can just be mean. I can be a mean, rotten son of a bitch and say what I want to say. Go back to Africa, or build that wall, or whomever, whatever. We're living in a very mean, mean world. And while you're walking around looking at somebody's skin tone, you have a international group of leaders collectively. Don't think they, you know, they are enemies, are trying to depopulate this whole damn world through the air, through water, through food, murders, any means possible, health care. You see that with the opioid crisis. They're trying to depop, and they don't have no bias about, well, we don't want to kill the whites, just the black. They don't give a damn who it is, because they want the weakest and the easiest left on this planet. Some of them are white, some of them are black. They don't have a bias about that. And here we are as a nation of people walking into these supermarkets, Whole Foods and Walmarts and so on, Kroger's and all these places worldwide, and knowing that nearly 80% of the foods that they're selling us are poisonous. They try to kill us. through the FDA, all legal. And you sit there worrying about, I don't want no niggers hurting me. Man, these people are trying to kill all of us. They do not discriminate. This is not a game. Again, you got to be backwards, because you're looking at the wrong thing, and that's what they want you to keep looking at, the skin color, or they're knocking your ass off. I see people daily going in hospitals for cancer, lupus, this disease, that disease, and they got it through what? Through food, through water, deodorant. They putting that sucking in anything and everything that you use to get through your skin. And here we are still in 2019, going on 2020, worrying about the color of a person's damn skin. And we haven't revolted yet on this demonic-ass world that we're living in. This place has never been great, as Donald Trump said, never been great. We've never, and I always say this, we've never built a place for God to dwell in with us. We've embraced this hell that we live in. We accept this hell. And we do nothing on a daily basis to change this hell. I'm going to end with this segment again, another one that woman and Jay Alexander, she faced racial discrimination as well just a couple of months ago. And as I always say in party, man, thank you guys for tuning in. To love yourselves is to know yourselves, and to know yourselves comes by spending time with God. We thank you, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Tonight, a woman who said she was forced to give up her seat at a Jay Alexander's restaurant is claiming discrimination.
The woman shot this video moments after she says the bartender took her drink and poured it down the sink, telling her she'd no longer be served. Mary Spool has the latest on the claims and what the restaurant is saying tonight.
It's the video that's going viral. It shows the aftermath of an incident inside the Jay Alexander restaurant in West Bloomfield involving Leah Gantt, employees, and a customer. Leah Gantt recorded the video after she claimed she was forced to leave the restaurant. Gantt said it all started when a restaurant employee tried to force her to give up her seat for two white men on June 20th.
When I did not get up for her to say, I am not going to serve you, and I had done nothing wrong.
When she did not get up, Gantt says the bartender told her she's not going to serve her, and took her drink and dumped it in the sink. But Gantt tells me things did not stop there.
And she's yelling at me while I'm on the phone.
Gantt says shortly after, another customer threw his food towards her. This part of the video shows Gantt being escorted out of the restaurant. Monday, attorney Maurice Davis with the Davis Law Group announced another customer, J.L. Jefferson, claims he was also treated unfairly that night on his wedding anniversary when he asked about their food.
At this point, an Arab gentleman from the bar emerged using the N-word and told us to go home. At that point, management